this morning, and it's a blessing to see each of you. And likewise, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. The older you get the blessing of being celebrated a father numerous times over. Father and grandfather and great-grandfather as well. Fathers, of course, are very important in the lives of in any societal life. They have a very distinctive role that God gives to them. We may need a lot of things in this country, and of course we do. But one thing that we do need is we need more godly fathers. We need more fathers that are willing to step up and take their responsible places and fulfill their responsible roles in their families. I'd like to start this morning with a few quotes that have meant a lot to me over the years. The first one is, my dad was my E.F. Hutton. Whenever he spoke, I listened. this quote is credited to Erica Cosby. She said that, fathers just have a way of putting everything together. An American writer by the name of Clarence Kellen said concerning her father that he didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Mr. Confucius. Now, Mr. Confucius sometimes can be confusing, but this time he says something that is worth paying attention to. He says, the father who does not teach his son his duties is equally guilty with the son who neglects them. Small boys have become big men through the influence of big men, their fathers, who care about small boys. One more. One night, a father was heard hearing his son make this prayer. Dear God, make me the kind of man my father is. Later that night, the father prayed this prayer. Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be. Of course, all of those are secular quotes, and they're good ones. You've heard me say before that if the Bible says something once, it's important. God doesn't have to repeat himself. He does, but he doesn't have to. When God said, let there be light, immediately there was light. And that tells us a lot about God. When God speaks, things happen. So when the Bible says something about a subject one time, it's important. But did you know that the Bible says something about fathers over 1,500 times? 1,500 times in the Bible. I think there's 1,189 chapters. That would average more than once per chapter. Now a father wears a lot of hats. The first hat that a father should wear is that of a good husband. The role of husband and father go together. I would dare say that if you find a good father, you're going to find a good husband. Also, a good father needs to be a good person. It's kind of hard to not be good at one thing and not at the other. A good person, a father, if you find a good father, you're going to find a good person. Of course, it helps to be a good father, to be a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, good followers of God usually make the best fathers and the best husbands and the best everything else. Fathers, of course, are by nature, they're example setters. Their children watch them. Their children look up to them. Their children think about them. And that's true across the board. I know that there are all kinds of situations. You know, every father's situation is unique to that father. But there are some overriding and undergirding general principles for every father. One of the primary ways that fathers influence their children and have an influence in the world, of course, is by their example. In Psalm 22, verse 4, the psalmist said, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them." You know, actions speak louder than words. It's one thing for a father to give lip service to trusting in God, but it's another thing whenever they live by what they preach. You know, if the situation in the family calls for prayer, the first person in that family that needs to go to their knees is the father, the husband and the father. He needs to lead by example. If there's a situation in that family that needs correction, there needs to be a course reset. Well, the first person in that family that ought to be doing that is that father, that husband and that father. And by the way, that's a charge that God gives him. That's not a societal more. Fathers, we have fathers in this world because God created man. And he blessed man to become a father. Okay? The psalmist says also in the 44th Psalm, he says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in times of old." You know, it's not uncommon, you know, when fathers and sons get together or when families get together for stories to begin to be told. Sometimes they're whimsical. Sometimes they're just, you know, just to get a load of laughs. But even in that, there should be an element of teaching. There should be the desire of a father to pass on to their children some of the things that are important and will become important and will be important in their lives. And another thing that you can probably find this in the Bible, and I'm sure that if I thought about it, I could find a verse of Scripture to prove it. But fathers, once you become a father, you never cease being a father. Okay? Not only do you never cease being a father, your responsibility as a father never goes away. Your role in those responsibilities may, I hate to use this word, evolve over time or change over time, but they never go away. Once a father, always a father. Once an example setter is a father, you'll always be an example setter as a father. Okay? Of course, there's this side of that. Lamentations 5, verse 7, Jeremiah says, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Jeremiah was living in a time that God was judging the house of Israel. There was great famine, there was distress. Enemies had come into their nation and country and had destroyed them. To say the least, it was a very bad time for the house of Israel. Why? The vast majority, I'm searching for the best way to word this, the vast majority of those that would have shared in the responsibility of God's judgment at that time were not there. They had died and been buried. Now, those in that generation that were suffering those things, they bore as much responsibility because they continued the actions of their fathers. But what brought them to that captivity and so forth wasn't just at the feet of that generation. It was at the feet of many generations that had come before. Because God kept telling their fathers, you know, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. And that's what happened. Many times the sons bear the iniquities of their fathers. As our fathers have sinned and are not, they're not here, they have died. And we have borne their iniquities. Well, the other side of that, Proverbs 17, verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Now, Solomon didn't say their parents, and he didn't say their mothers. Now, that's not diminishing the role of either. Okay, he just simply says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. There's a lot in that, but what I wanted out of that is the fact that the scripture teaches us that fathers not only have a responsibility in towards their children, the next generation, those that they are blessed to bring into this world, but they also have a responsibility towards their children's children. Right. And their children's children's children. You don't ever outgrow, we don't ever outgrow our responsibilities in those ways, as we said earlier. Okay? The fifth commandment, you know, teaches us that we're to honor our fathers and our mothers. I think it goes on to say that's the first commandment with promise, isn't it? Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, the Apostle Paul puts concept concerning fathers. It begins this way. Are you ready for this? Hebrews 12, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that word chastisement is the same word that's translated instruction in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, in righteousness. It's the same word in the Greek. Okay, it's also the same word in Ephesians 6:4, where we're admonished to bring our children up in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. How do you nurture a child? Part of that nurturement involves chastisement. But if you be without chastisement, then he goes on to say in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we got mad at them and stomped out of the house and packed our clothes and said, I don't care if I ever see you again. I'll not even come back for your funeral. No. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Now, there are two responsibilities in that verse of Scripture. The first one is obvious, that the son needs to hear his father's instruction. The second one is that the father has a responsibility to give good instruction, to give godly instruction, and to give not only verbal instruction, but also real life examples. You know, it's easy, it's enduring, it's wonderful to live by a father's verbal instruction, but it's all of that 10 times more to follow him, to follow his example in instruction, to see the life that he leads, the life that he has led. We are our father's son. We are our father's daughter. May the Lord bless the fathers that are here today. And, you know, we could make a long list and say, well, what's wrong with our country today is, and fill in the blank. But one thing that's at the top of that list is that I think across the board, we've seen too many fathers abscond their responsibility as fathers. Fathers have been under attack for a long time. You know what kind of rebellion we need in our country today? We need a father rebellion. Fathers, we need to stand up. We need to stand up to those influences. If need be, we need to stand up to mother. If need be, we need to stand up to our children. But most importantly, we need to stand up to ourselves and say, this is my God-given responsibility, and I'm going to do everything I can with God's help to carry it out to the best of my ability. May the Lord add his blessing.